Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power. I say black power to my people. All power to the people. We say death to the fascist pig and all those who oppress our people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. Happy, feeling good to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here. Right here in the hells and what we call the hells and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count it an honor. I count it everything positive that I could think of in the English language to be able to talk to you from this platform that we know of now, well now, for some years now, an established radio broadcast, one of, if not the most revolutionary, pro-black, black nationalist, black power radio broadcast and agenda anywhere to be heard in the hells and smells of North America and throughout this country. We're talking about Black Power Radio. We didn't invite you to hear nothing about no Democratic Party convention. Didn't invite you here to hear nothing about no Republican convention. Didn't invite you to hear nothing about nothing except for yourself talking about power to the people. Talking about black power in specific to black people. And we're talking about freeing our comrade. Of course, before I say that, all political prisoners. Now, it's specific, freeing our comrade who's been locked down way too damn long now. Red taping our brother. Locked down way too long now, but I'm happy to report and glad to report to you beast and all of you out there that our brother and comrade, the National Chief of Staff, brother and minister Hashim Nzinga, is in good spirits. He's in good spirits, working out. He's fasting, getting his mind, his heart, and all of that in pristine condition. But we want freedom for Hashim Nzinga. We want freedom for all political prisoners. And so I open up this broadcast giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and our foremothers by whatever name that you use. I bear witness to all the good names. We give thanks to that God, that one God in our ancestors for sending many freedom fighters down the wheels of time, already seeing that a state of imperialism would be imposed, that we would live in a fascist state, rise up to a police state, seeing all that down the wheels of time and being wise. Our forefathers and foremothers produced warriors that would fight against any beast, any attacker, and any opposer at any time. And so we give thanks to all of them, both male and female, who have held the line and given us a great revolutionary example of what to be like and what to strive like in a world that is so confusing now, where you barely know if it's a man or a woman you're looking at or talking to nowadays. Right now, where things are so mixed up and fixed up that men are acting like women and women are acting like men. But the beautiful thing is that in this movement, in this Black Power movement, in this revolutionary stance that we're taking, we're glad to say that the role of the male and the female is the same. The role of the male here and the role of the female here is to make revolution, complete constructive change against your oppressor. So there's no point in getting mixed up and fixed up on no sexism. No point in tripping no kind of way, because hell, whether you're a black man or a black woman, in the hells and smells of North America, you a damn slave in this country. I'm going to put that in quotations for those of you that's typing my words down so you can run that across somewhere. I'm putting that in quotations. In this country, America is a corporation to its core, all about business and all about its capital. And so, hell, we're realizing now, many of us, I should say, are realizing now that you're no more than cattle in the hells and smells of North America. You're no more than product in the hells and smells of North America. They call you human resource. You're human resource in the hells and smells of North America. And now it's at the point now, it has developed to the point now where they don't even need the human resource. Everything is being pushed to robotics and electronics. And so now many of us, brothers and sisters, who were so dependent on the establishment, the big power structure for a job, now all of a sudden you're finding yourself and ourselves out of work. We open this show up before I even get off into that. This is Black Power Radio. I told you, before I even get off into any of that, I want to give thanks, as I said, for all of our freedom fighters, giving thanks for every single Panther regiment that has come, for those who are still what we call the OGs, the old guard, those that are still walking around today, who are not shell-shocked, who are not scared of their own shadow, who are not scared of their own poots, for those who are still soldiers in the hells and smells of North America, on this Black Power Radio, we give you a salute and we honor you on this show. For every single member of the Black Liberation Army, for every single member of the Deacons for Defense, for every single member of the Nation of Islam, for every single member of the UNIA, for every single freedom fighter and soldier who had came up under whatever banner, we give you a salute on Black Power Radio right now. And we give those of you who are fighting today a salute. We come to you in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man to the core. This brother wore his blackness. He wore his blackness as a badge of honor. Many of you running around trying to bleach yourself to death, taking long baths in Clorox bleach, trying to bleach yourself to death, trying to bleach your black skin away. This black man showed you how to be proud of your blackness. This black man showed you how to walk around in a predominantly white country and not feel ashamed of yourself. You look at what's happening to the entertainers. They get mixed up and fixed up in Hollywood, and they begin to change their skin color, begin to change their skin complexion, walk around wearing blue contacts boldly and proudly, got blonde hair, trying to be like the white woman boldly and proudly, not being themselves. This black man showed you how to be a strong black man and gave a strong example for the black woman I'm talking about. Our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We say Ashe, and we never let his name die. I don't care what none of you cowards out there think. I don't care what you want us to do. We'll never let that name drop. Because now in 2012, many of you are beginning to see the wisdom of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. Many of you who dissed him while he was here, Many of you who talked bad about him while he was here said he was crazy, said he didn't know what he was doing, said he was uncouth, all this type of stuff that you said now in 2012. Now that the white well has run dry, now you're beginning to understand all along what the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad was talking about. But in that same breath, we got to give thanks to one who has made sure that his name has remained among the top rank of the freedom fighters and warriors throughout our people's history. We got to give thanks for a man who has literally sacrificed life and limb, literally sacrificed his career, his time, his money, literally sacrificed even at times his own health. Got to give thanks for the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad molding and shaping many brothers and sisters, not just within the New Black Panther Party, but in the Nation of Islam, in the jungles of Africa, all across through Libya, all in Iraq, many brothers and sisters, even in Arabia and Mecca. This man traveled and shaped many revolutionaries. But there's one in the hells and smells of North America that he has shaped and molded and prodded and prepared and tested and tested and tested over and over again to make sure that he could stand. And through his works and through his deeds and through his action, his commitment and his talent, he has proven that he has been a worthy servant and a worthy student of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And he is a worthy national chairman, worthy of our support and our backing. The man I'm talking about is the warrior lawyer, as he's affectionately known. And we know him as Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who you will be hearing from tonight. For the ADL that's listening, you know you like to mix up and fix up what we got to say, so we're going to give you plenty of it tonight to mix up and fix up. For the Southern Poverty Law Center, we're going to give you plenty to mix up and fix up. For Breitbart.com and all you detractors, we're going to give you plenty to mix up and fix up, as we are 100% locked and loaded in for the battle for the minds and hearts of our people. We are so in love with our people that we will face you at any time, any place, anywhere. We will face our enemy anywhere in the hells and smells of North America and throughout the world for the liberation of our people. You will hear from Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz tonight, and you will hear from my brother, who is also raising the Panther banner and raising the standard of Panther. He's on the West Coast. Brothers on the West Coast, not a Rudy Poot to the struggle. See, when you're talking about black men and black women who are soldiers and who are freedom fighters, in many cases, you're not talking about no Rudy Poots. You're not talking about people who just, as the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad would say, are some Johnny come latelys. Those who just came up and decided, no, these are tested men and women who are battle-tested in the hells and smells of North America, tested on the concrete, tested in the penitentiaries, tested in the jails, tested in the courtrooms, tested in your personal life, tested everywhere you go, and you still stand to be a freedom fighter and a warrior. This brother is the leader. He is the general of the Black Rider Liberation Party. A new generation of the Black Panther Party. That's right, beast and devil, the panther is everywhere. And we hope to get it to the point to where everywhere you look, whether it's east, west, north, and south, this panther in one shape or another, one formation or another, one distinction or another, will be on your ass 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. That's what I'm talking about. Wherever there's oppression, there will be a Panther Party. All of this black-on-black violence, all of this killing that's going on, all of that, if we adhere to the Panther program, the programs, the policies, the procedure of the Panther, it can be alleviated, because the Panther going to take you black to the root. The Panther going to not only confront the subculture of black-on-black violence, the Panther is going to also confront white racism. The Panther is going to also confront capitalism. The Panther is going to also confront Zionism. The Panther is going to also confront unfair taxation and a criminal justice system. The Panther is going to confront The Panther will confront, but you got to know the Panther's the people. And so it was the Honorable Comrade, Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton, who said the Panther's born every 5 seconds in the ghetto. And so here we are, the black nation, ready to present itself for its self-determination. I got to tell you about our National Leadership Summit. Our National Leadership Summit, as I bring our first guest on, our National Leadership Summit, Atlanta, GA, the weekend of the 23rd and the 24th, and this is by invitation only. It's by invitation only, so don't think CNN or ABC or NBC that you're coming in. There's no media with this. It's not about no media hype, not about no camera play. Enough for the camera play, enough for the media hype. This is about our people. Atlanta, GA, we're going to hear more about it. But we'll leave that, and our national chairman to get all off into that later in the show. So right now, with it being 8:15, I want to bring on our first guest. As I told you, this brother is the general of the Black Rider Liberation Party, a man fresh off of the ankle bracelet of the Beast Free, ready to organize and ready to move. I want all of you out there in the listening audience to help me to bring Black to Black Power Radio, our big brother, our friend, soldier, comrade in arms and battle. This is General Taco. We say power to the people and black power for black people. How are you, brother?
How you doing, brother? Power to the people, black power to black people.
Power to the people, black power. I'm doing fantastic. Good to hear your voice, sir. What has been going on? Brief the people.
Oh, basically, I've been cut off the GPS tracking device for about a month now, and we've been out here organizing, trying to put a citywide gang truce together. Also, we've been running these neighborhood patrols to make sure we put a check on the black-on-black violence in the community. So, also, brother, yep. We've been focusing on this Jason Smith case. The Jason Smith case was a situation that happened in 2011 in Louisiana, Arrows, where a young boy was walking down the street with supposedly two white friends, and they took him to the backyard of their house, and they beat him, they lynched him, they raped him, and then they dumped his body into a pond and went to a party an hour later. Now, they reported the body being in the pond, but at the same time, they tried to make it like it was an accidental drowning, when in fact, we know that it was a lynching that went on, because after that, they put a gigantic Confederate flag in front of his house to show that they were being initiated into the Ku Klux Klan. So we plan on going down there and organizing troops to make sure we put an end to this type of racism and white supremacy in our community.
Yes, sir. I heard something about Jason Smith. I was following up on that online. Tell us a little bit more about it, because I don't think everybody knows enough about it. You gave us the synopsis of it, but how does that affect us? Give us how that affects us as a people. Connect us to it, and how does it also relate to the Trayvon Martins and the rise of the neo-Nazis and white supremacists happening in America?
Well, we got to pay close attention to what's been going on ever since the selection of Obama. What happened was there was a domestic arms race and a recruitment going high within the white supremacy, white power militia group. These groups grew in proportion, using Obama as a token to say that black people were pushing the government around and pushing white people around, and it's time for white power to stand up. So the Trayvon Martin situation, the Oscar Grant, and all of these racist killings shows us that there's a continual race and class struggle going on in this country, and we need to wake our people up and declare and push their constitutional right to bear arms and defend themselves, because these killings cannot just go away with us not doing anything. You feel me?
100%. Speak to, now you on the West Coast, in Cali, and we're putting pressure on this violence. Speak to what's happening right now with the black-on-black crime. That's not nothing new, but in some people's mind, it seems to be an outbreak of black-on-black violence all across the country. Can you talk to us?
Well, we have to understand that the black-on-black violence, specifically the gangbanging in L.A., came about from J. Gay Edgar Hoover pushing crack cocaine and military weapons to the gangs out here to continue to beef and destroy the old black liberation movement. So our thing has been to educate brothers and sisters to the true history of where the Crips and the Bloods come from, because Bunchy Carter created the Crips as a low-key sector of the original Black Panther Party out here in L.A. And when the government set him up and assassinated him at UCLA in 1969, that left the Crips without a leader. And they end up getting hit with white supremacy thought patterns and capitalist dope dealing thought patterns in order to push the gangs to a higher level. And that right there created a popular culture within America that gangbanging was the thing to do. They glamorize it in a TV show. They glamorize it on movies in order to instill in us to do the work of the Ku Klux Klan. But now we up on gang. Now we've been educated to the truth, and we know how they injected the internalized racism and self-hatred in us during the plantation time, and that has continued from generation to generation. So now we up on gang. We up on the fact that we come from Africa. We up on the fact that they destroyed the Black Panther Party, bringing in the crack cocaine and the guns, and now we going to engage in revolution.
Yes, sir. Tell us about yourself, brother. How did you come to be a Black Rider? How did you come into the Black Riders Liberation Party, or how did you begin with it? Tell us a little bit more about how you first became a Panther and the Panther ideology. And then the final piece on that, tell us how you got to meet and know Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Well, in 1996, we formulated an assignment of YTS prison. And that's where they were sending all the young gangbangers throughout L.A. who was known as major shooters. And they kept most brothers in there for life sentences. But while we was in there, we began to study and read about George Jackson, Bunchy Carter, Fred Hampton. And once we understood the whole Panther philosophy, it was a need for us to reject the self-hatred, to reject the capitalist values and the white supremacy, black-on-black violent mentality, and pick up a positive revolutionary mentality. So then we decided to formulate a new generation Black Panther called the Black Riders Liberation Party, because we wanted to put extra emphasis on riding on our enemy, because it was necessary to show brothers and sisters that the enemy is not each other. It's these demons that come into our community with these black and white cars and these blue suits on, coming looking like pigs, but really Ku Klux Klan on the low. So as we began to organize, once I got out of jail, then we pushed to organize Bloods and Crips throughout the community. And we set up a Watch a Pig program. That was one of our first major steps. The Watch a Pig program is basically brothers getting out here and sisters getting out here with video cameras, legal weapons, mace, scanners, walkie-talkies. And we began to patrol the demons, the police. We let them know that if you brutalize or harm anybody in our community, we will intervene. We will intervene, and we will let you know we will defend our community by any means necessary. And this right here showed brothers and sisters in the hood who the real enemy was. We pointed a direct arrow to who their real enemy is. But the police just represent a small prong of the military establishment. You know, because once you deal with them, you got to deal with the National Guard and all the other demons that come along with them. We recognized there was a shadow government in America, a government that was ruled by a ruling elite who was dominating and oppressing everybody. So by doing that, we educated brothers and sisters to pick up books, to learn your true history and how we came from Africa. So then we had a major trip when we went to Oakland. We met up with brother Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and we had plenty of dialogue on how to go about setting this up. So we went back to the South, and we were supposed to be doing bodyguard work for him. So a couple years later, he was assassinated by the ruthless government of America. So then when brother Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz came out here, we set up a 50-unit bodyguard team when he did the memorial for Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And ever since then, we've operated as a low-key special operations unit within the new Black Panther Party.
It's a big 10-4, brother. Big 10-4. We want to get you to the National Leadership Summit, if at all possible, in Atlanta, GA. Talk about, and you kind of have touched on it, but talk about this call to action against the war on black people. What is it that we can do? Now, many people, they don't know what to do about this gang thing. You all have made it a point to give the so-called gangs, the street tribes, a revolutionary mentality. Teach the people on Black Power Radio, what can we do in our cities to affect the gang situation and this war on black people?
The main thing we need to do is educate our people on where we come from, know our true history on how we was drugged here during the Middle Passage and forced to pick cotton for these demons. That's the main thing. Once we know the true history, the thousands of years of massacres, the thousands of years of murders and enslavement that these people put on us, then we'll know that the brother or sister around the corner ain't really did nothing, no matter how many people they shot at, no matter how many people they hurt. They've never done what this racist U.S. government did and the white supremacists that run with them over these thousands of years of crushing people of color and destroying sacred objects and running through lands and conquering everybody on the planet. So once we educate our youth to that, that would bring about pride. That would bring about a need to resist this totalitarian fascist state.
Right on. Right on. How you feel off of that ankle bracelet, brother? You been going buck wild? Tell us about how you got locked down. Talk about it.
Well, basically, they set me up on a conspiracy to possess a machine gun to shoot up four different police stations. And it was a total setup, a trumped-up charge that these demons put on me to stop us from organizing in the black community, to stop us from organizing Bloods and Crips out of the negative self-hatred mentality. See, that's the key. They never want the gangs to become aware because they know those brothers have been fighting and shooting for so long. Once they recognize who their real enemy is, the enemy is doomed. So since I've been out, since I've been pushing on a long level, it's time for us all to unite every Panther formation in the country to bring about the destruction of fascism, capitalism, and imperialism on the planet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What does this George Zimmerman mean? What have you researched with this George Zimmerman? What does this George Zimmerman situation mean for us as a people?
It shows us how these demons, no matter whether they have the social license to kill as police or whether they just average so-called citizens in America, we have to understand that they've been given a social license to kill based on their white skin privilege, based on their white skin badge. They think that they can kill us and get away with it. This shows us that racism really exists in America, no matter if you get a black face in a high place like Obama and these other mayors and politicians. It shows us we are economically, politically, socially, and militarily powerless against these demons. No matter what, a black face in a high place will never change our situation as a people. And they constantly pushing this crack cocaine in, they constantly pushing AIDS at us. All of these things shows us that we are facing extermination. And if we face an extermination, then it's time for us to stand up and resist. We will not sit back passively like Jews and go to the gas chamber. We will resist by any means necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that there's a concerted effort to make the people disarmed and powerless?
It's always an effort to deny the black man and black woman the ability to defend themselves. This is why they constantly pushed on the plantation that we shouldn't go near a stick or a broom because they thought we was going to bust their head with it. So we have to understand they're always trying to keep the people who are oppressed powerless and defenseless. Our thing is to educate our people. If we did all that negative stuff for a gang color, we did all that negative stuff because we were just irritated and frustrated because we was feeling self-hatred, then imagine what we're going to do when we feel and recognize who the real enemy is and recognize who's been oppressing us economically, politically, socially, and especially militarily. Then we will resist in every fashion. We will set up the program. We will set up the businesses. We will begin to take back full control of our community from the fascist state.
Yes, sir. Break down to us the platform position that you have on African intercommunalism. What does that mean for the people?
Well, that basically is an updated theory, the Huey P. Newton's original theory of intercommunalism. Basically, that shows us that black people represent the vanguard of the whole revolutionary movement that's going on the planet. We have to understand that there's plenty of colonized third world countries who are ready to resist, who are ready to donate whatever we need to defend ourselves against these demons. They've been oppressing and colonizing and pushing a neocolonial line at every major third world country. Now it's time for us to unite. So African intercommunalism shows us that America is a capitalist fascist country who is ruled and dominated by a shadow government that must be dealt with. Our thing is to connect all Africans on the planet primarily and then the rest of the oppressed people in order to engage in revolutionary warfare.
Yes, sir. What can we do against the court system, in your opinion? So many people are being victimized by the criminal justice system. What do we do against the courts?
Well, when we deal with the criminal justice system, we have to understand it has been the number one tool to repress the liberation movement of our people. Our thing is to organize and to make everybody understand we cannot keep expecting the pigs to investigate the pigs. We cannot keep expecting the pigs to go to court after they murder one of us and be found guilty by a bunch of racist white jurors who have no interest in the black community. So it's all designed, it's all set up, it's all to make us feel that the court process and justice in this country really exists. But it doesn't for black people. back in the day they had a ruling during slavery when they said that the black man has no rights, which the white man is bound to respect. This is the truth. So we must understand, we must establish revolutionary justice in our community in order to defeat the demons.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. At the end of it all, General Taco, in your estimation, what is it that we'll see? After the fight, after the program is established, what is it that we're striving for so that the people are clear and that we know?
See, our major thing is to set up a whole new society, a society that's basically an updated grade of socialism, and that's what we call intercommunalism, but it will be black control and black ran. Black people will rule and dominate this planet against the oppressive ruling class. We must set this up in order for us to have a communal society on the planet. We have to destroy the classes, we have to destroy the white supremacy, and then we'll be able to develop. Then we'll be able to set up housing. Then we'll be able to set up education. We must push for a whole new society because this one is corrupt and decadent.
Does that make you a racist? Does that make you a racist, in your opinion, according to society? Answer that.
That's one of our major problems as a people right now. We got to pay close attention to this because over the 60s and the 70s, and after the movement was destroyed, they weren't about bringing in comedians and a bunch of clowns in order to ridicule and demean the whole idea of black power. You've heard the joke 1,000 times that Malcolm X said. He said that we didn't land no Plymouth Rock, Plymouth Rock landed on us. Things like this was used as cliches to be ridiculed and scoffed at and laughed at in order to impose a mentality on our people to make us feel guilty, ashamed if we push for anything that was strictly black power. So that's the reality we're dealing with. So now, since they didn't demean black power and promoted and supported and glamorized self-hatred gangbanging, we brought about a new twist. We brought about a revolutionary but gangster mentality to show people the reality that we will have pride. We will have our freedom by any means necessary, or we'll destroy the earth to make sure it happens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're listening to, brothers and sisters, General Taco, General of the Black Riders Liberation Party. We got about 8 more minutes in the segment, General. Give us. Listen, you are pushing this line for Panther unification. Why do you see that it's the time now for the Panther formations to unify? You and Dr. Malik Shabazz, why do you all feel like it's the time now for us to come together?
See, when you go through a long period of gangbanging and self-hatred, you realize who your common enemy really is. You see, after you go through that, you won't trip off if you got on that color or that color. You won't trip off if a person is dark-skinned or if a person is light-skinned. You won't trip off if a person was an elder, if a person was a youngster. You're going to realize the Willie Lynch mentality that they impose on our people. And once you understand that, then you'll begin to want to unite with those who have similar revolutionary mentalities like yourself. And that's our thing today, to make sure every Panther formation understand that we have a common enemy and we must unite. If we have on all black and we ready to pick up guns to defend ourselves, that is our number one unifying tool. And all the ideological and structural issues can be dealt with. See, Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale recognized this back in the day. And we have to recognize this now. It's time for all Panther formation to unite against these racist dog demons that run this country. And we will win. We will not be destroyed by a new COINTELPRO because we are aware, we are educated to what you did. So now, face our BLACKINTELPRO.
You say BLACKINTEL, right on. We're with that. Okay. Give us in the final minutes that we got, give us all of the contact information. Give us the way that we can join on. We're trying to build up the movement on that West Coast. We need riders all through the West Coast, Panthers all through the West Coast. How can people get on board and join the movement? Or is there a join of the movement? What they gotta do?
Well, one of the main things you gotta do is educate yourself and get some heart. And recognize that these people pushed the line during the plantation days that we couldn't even look them in their face. They wanted us to hold our head down and have no dignity. Recognize it's time to push against these kids in the old-fashioned state with your head up and your fist up high. That's key. Before you make any call or before you send any letter to any P.O. box we're going to give you, or you can call Malik Zulu Shabazz, before you even make that phone call, make sure you educate yourself and get some heart and be ready to stand up against your real racist enemy.
But hold on 1 minute, sir. I'm going to have the sister give you the P.O. box number real quick.
Power to the people.
All right. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Who are we talking to?
Sister Lala, Chief of Staff of the Black Riders.
Sister Lala, Chief of Staff. All right, power to the people, sister. We're looking for the P.O. Box.
The P.O. Box is 8297, Los Angeles, California, 90008.
All right, one more time. Give it to us one more time.
Right, again, the P.O. Box is P.O. Box 8297, Los Angeles, California, 90008.
All right, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thank you so, so much. Anything in closing as we wrap this up? Power to the people, Kyrie. Anything in closing as we wrap this up? Last and final words in this segment, sir.
Make sure everybody read that new Black Panther paper and read On Confrontational Politics. Erase the fear of above ground self defense. Power to the people.
That's what's up. Power to the people. Finally, we appreciate you. My brothers and my sisters, I hope that y'all got that. I hope that you got it. If you didn't, make sure that you run the tape back. Run the tape back and get it. Get what the black man said. Get what the queen said. That's General Taco of the Black Riders Liberation Party and Sister Lala, Chief of Staff. That's family. We're pushing all across the country. Let me get your other calls in. We thank you. We're looking for Brother James. Brother James Muhammad, if you're listening, you're down there in Jacksonville, Florida, brother. We're trying to get you in the queue. If you listen, you got to press number one, my brother. But let me get your calls and bring some more on. We're expecting to hear our national chairman. He's on his way. You know he's taxiing the runway. But let me get these calls in right now. Area code 901-463. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Black Power. 904-449. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Question or comment?
I just wanted to comment to Tracy Hampshire, thanking James from Jacksonville for allowing me to listen in on this powerful conversation. And thank you again, James Muhammad from Duval, Florida, in Jacksonville.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We're looking for Brother James right now. We're gonna pull him in the queue. We're finding him. But thank you for tuning in to Black Power Radio. Hopefully we can have you as a regular listener. This is a regular broadcast. It's one of the few broadcasts where you're going to come and get it unmixed, untampered with, and undiluted. Let me see if this is Brother James. Area code 904-613. You're on the air. This is Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power. Assalamu alaikum. This is
Black
James.
Power. Walaikum salam. Got to be Brother James Muhammad. What's happening, black man?
Oh, praise to Allah. First of all, I'd like to say Ashe, Hotep, peace, Habar Ghani. And for those who some to say praise God, praise the Lord. And, of course, yo, to those just what's up. Brother,
yeah,
we
pass the ammunition.
We have so many factions and division. I was not expecting to speak tonight, but I'm still working and contacting folks to get online because this is a very, very important message and meeting. I would say to everybody who's out here right now, you have the information. They should be listening in as we prepare to hear from the chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Brother, I did not know exactly what I was supposed to speak on, but I will say this. We are attacking the Trayvon Martin case. We're working with that. Of course, some saw in the Final Call News the case of the sister in Jacksonville who received 20 years was not able to get her case ratified at all.
You're talking about Sister Marissa, right?
Right, Marissa Alexander, which is a very, very important case because it's setting the precedent. And I believe many here believe that if this was not a black woman, this case and this decision would have gone otherwise. If this was not a black woman, we're really working hard, many of us, to make sure we're standing up, respecting and protecting the black woman, sisters. I hope you really, really understand. This is where we are.
Yes, sir. Tell the people, kind of, Brother James, kind of tell the people the case. I don't think, like I was saying to Brother Taco, I don't think a lot of people know what's happening with that case. Kind of give us the brief on what's going on with Sister Marissa Alexander. What happened?
Well, I know. Brother McHale has been the forerunner in that case. I have been with him as much as I can, but he is the forerunner. I can tell you this. In this particular case, the case started all the way back to 2010. Here it is 2012. It was a domestic abuse case, something that we always talk to our sisters about. Don't put yourself in a situation where a man is going to abuse you and then you have to retaliate. In Florida, the Stand Your Ground law says that if you abuse, if you attack or your life is threatening, you have the right to defend yourself. In this case, the judge did not feel that was the case. He felt because so much had gone on between this couple. You know how you break up, you get back together, you break up and you fight back and forth. And when she finally, she did not shoot him, she did not injure him, she simply fired a weapon into the air. Florida has a law, even though she fired a weapon, it's called 10-20 life. In Florida, if you have a weapon, you fire. You have it, period. 10 years. 20 years, mm-hmm. If you fire a weapon and you do not hit anyone. And, of course, if you shoot someone and you actually kill them, it is a 10-20 life rule here in the state of Florida. The judge, even though her life was being threatened, even though she was in a situation where she was being abused, the Stand Your Ground law did not apply. So you have people here who are rallying. The case is still on the table. There's been really no final decision, but there has to be an outrage, a public outcry, just like with Trayvon. The number of people that when we went to Sanford that came out for those rallies. Really, public opinion matters. When these people see this judicial system, Europeans, white, Caucasian, whatever we want to call them, when they see that we just sit back and it's business as usual, that's what happens.
Right.
Usual, and they sweep it under the rug. Well, in this case, Marissa Alexander, that's exactly what's starting to happen. It was starting to. Now the case is being pulled back, and I think that, as I understand it, the judge is reevaluating this case, and it's being looked at a third time. And the same situation. The only reason this case got the attention was our brother McHale, who talked to me while I was in Chicago, made an effort. The Black Panther should be noted in this case. I don't care what you hear in the news. It was the Black Panther Party who went to Sanford and investigated this case, and an AP reporter wrote up just a small section and put it in the paper. It was picked up by Reuters, came back to the Black Panther Party, who picked up this case. Otherwise, this would have been just like any other killing in the neighborhood. It would have been swept under the rug. And as long as we allow that to happen in situations here in the city, not just on racial incidents, but also on black-on-black crime, when we see these issues, we allow it to be swept under the rug, it's going to continue to be business as usual.
Exactly. So in Sister Marissa's case, the Stand Your Ground law did not apply to Sister Marissa, although there were in some instances similar circumstances, but no loss of life. What are you saying there?
Well, this is a very interesting situation. As we understand the way legislation is written here in Florida, the Stand Your Ground law does not apply in domestic battery cases, which does not make a lot of sense. It does not apply, as they say, in domestic battery cases where there's been a history of constant abuse. And in this case, I have to say from what we're understanding is she defended herself in multiple situations, but nonetheless, the young man continue to be a combatant. I mean, he's lucky because many of our black sisters would have killed him a long time ago.
That's true.
They're not going to stand by and let you smack them upside the face and abuse them, and you keep getting back together. I don't understand. As a man, I would have been afraid to close my eyes at night. But
right. She
apparently built up enough heart and enough guts and said enough is enough. And I applaud the sister. I'm going to say this. I applaud the sister for standing up. And we now have responsibility to stand up for her.
I want to
be disrespected in a situation of domestic abuse, constant over the course of 2 or 3 years, and then a judge. I have to say, a white judge come and say, I'm sorry, you're going to do 20 years, and this man who has abused you will walk around free.
I want to be clear for the radio listener audience. I want to be clear. This sister, Marissa Alexander, she has not been arrested before. It's not like she's a repeat offender. She's never been arrested. And what she did was she fired a bullet at a wall. The bullet hit the wall to scare off her husband, who was beating her.
She fired it into the ceiling as a warning shot. No intent to kill, no intent to maim, but she received 20 years under the Florida 10/20 life rule, and they said that even though she was being abused and beaten, she did not have the right under Stand Your Ground. If you read the Stand Your Ground law, she actually, now this is interesting, and the lawyers were talking about this. If she had shot and killed him, she would probably be free right now, because that's what the Stand Your Ground law allows a person to do. She would be walking the streets free had she killed him.
As in the case of Trayvon Martin.
Yes, sir.
So she'd have been better off, according to Florida law. This is Tampa, Florida now, right? Tampa?
This is in Jackson, Florida.
This is Jackson? Okay. According to Floridian law, she'd have been better off killing the man, as in the case of Trayvon Martin, than firing the shot in the wall and not killing him. And she got 20 years.
Absolutely. This is, and the lawyers, you know, I've had a chance to be in circles in education and different circles, revolutionary and even legal folks, and I can tell you, people are laughing and making mockery of this case, but here's a young lady who's about to spend 20 years in jail because the judicial system can't get it right.
It's crazy. What do you say?
Absolutely.
What do you say that we do, Brother James? What's your suggestion?
Well,
you down there
I'll
on the ground.
You. I'll tell you that organized on the ground from the NAACP, the SCLC, there are even groups who have not organized, people who are just normal, everyday folks who take this case, spiritual folks who are in the churches, they're marching. But we got to do more than march. One, I say we saturate Tallahassee, which is where the legislative body and the judicial system meet constantly. We saturate Corrine Brown's office with emails and texts and phone calls. And Corrine Brown actually come out and spoke to this. Corrine Brown, those who don't know, is the congressional, she's the black congressional representative for this area. But I would say to all of them, the problem that we have is we have to stop being reactive and be proactive, and that's why we're having this call tonight that Dr. Malik has strongly urged, that we have got to come out of reactive mode and come to a proactive mode, just like
that's
the Trayvon case right now. We have a grace period of time given to us by God right now. I don't want to get to spiritualists, but I'm going to say this. They arrested his wife. That happened. We have to now plan mobilization and action, and then we have to put on the table what do we want. See, this is bigger than Trayvon. These incidents are going on. You saw the situation happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but you haven't heard anything about it. It's been swept under the rug because no one is voicing their opinion. No one is talking to legislators. We have a golden opportunity right now this summer, and I'll say it, there should be no justice, no peace this summer for any political person. There should be no justice or peace for anyone who is dealing with these issues of hate crime. We have not even charged Trayvon Killer Zimmerman. He has not been charged with a hate crime. He's only been charged with second-degree murder.
Teach.
So this is a golden opportunity right now to deal with the issues and the cases that are presently before us. Those have occurred, and even the issues of law enforcement abuses. A lot of crimes happening in Florida, and we turn our back, especially in Jacksonville, like they don't exist, and it's business as usual. Well, it's time for a change.
Yes,
cannot
sir.
Be business as usual.
Yes, sir. How significant is this summit coming up, Brother James? We look to see you down at in Atlanta at the summit. In your estimation, with all that's going on, how significant is this summit, National Leadership Summit?
I would say to everyone on this line, this is. I hope Dr. Malika don't say anything out of order. But I will say this. Fannie Lou Hamer said she's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm saying I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. In the educational system, in the judicial system, in the communities, unemployment in the black community is three times that of whites in this country. This conference is one of the major organizing platforms that's going to take place. There's another one that's going to take place in July, but we have to unite on the issues and the causes. And all I can say to you is this: it cannot be business as usual. Your children are not getting the education they need in the public school system. You're not working and receiving the pay you deserve. You're not getting justice in the courts. When do we decide to unite and pool our resources, which is what this is about? It is not about rhetoric. It is not about flapping off at the mouth. It's not about just talking. As brother, I just spoke to Brother Maurice Spivey in Tennessee, who was on the line, and I hope that we give have an opportunity for him to speak. This is not business as usual. There's nothing. This is not business as usual. If they're attacking the President of the United States and they keep saying we're going to take back our country, the question is who has it? You know who got it? It's a black man. So every
right.
time they attack Barack, they're attacking you and me.
Right.
Why?
Right.
And the same treatment that he's getting is the same treatment we're getting, and we're skinning and grinning and smiling, and people are spitting in our face. And I don't want to make it seem like this is a racist statement, but when have we received our fair share? We're not even talking reparations anymore. Why?
Yeah, we're getting
Why?
It worse than him. We're getting it worse
Why?
Than him.
So this summit is not just a place we're not going to be spouting off rhetoric. It is
Great.
Organizing, mobilizing for Trayvon, mobilizing, organizing around Marissa Alexander. It's mobilizing, organizing for community patrols. It's mobilizing, organizing. Why don't we make schools hire black teachers, black males? All across the country, there's a shortage of black male teachers, but they're black males who qualify, but they're not hiring them, and we're not making them hire them, but they're teaching our children. In Jacksonville, 80% or more of the school system is black, and 85% of the teachers are white.
Talk about it.
Women, what's wrong with that picture? So who is teaching our black males? And then the reading scores, I'm only using that as education. So we have to start to go to where they have conferences like the NEA, I'll say it, the AFT. And we have to go and start. They're holding meetings and don't beg and say, this is what we demand. Well, this is what we demand from political leaders. Either you're going to do what we ask or you're not going to be in office. Wisconsin
right,
showed
right,
you to make a recall. I'm sorry, I don't want to go too far, but this is a political. Understand the Black Panther Party and the Black Empowerment Movement and my brother Taco and others out with Sister Brother, this is not a church gathering sit-down session. That's
Come
not
on.
What the Nation of Islam is. This is a revolutionary movement about change for people. If we're not about changing people, you just want to go along and get along, and you want your children to go through the same hell that you've been going through and your grandfathers and grandfathers before, then sit back and do nothing. But this is a serious call for revolutionaries and people who want change. I'm not just spouting off. Are you willing
right.
to give up what you don't have?
Right.
Well, it's time for change. And I'm not going to go too far, but Dr. Malik is going to expand on that. Economics, political, educational. Why is it we don't own the homes in our community? We keep renting. We have people who are contractors. Let's start to unite and use the resources we have. Brother, I can go on, but thank you, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, no, Brother James. Brother, the chairman's coming right at the top of the hour. I just have one more question for you because I got to talk about Brother Minister Hashim Nzinga. We're talking about the freedom
yeah.
of political prisoners and yourself as a black man, a Muslim follower, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I got to ask you now, point number five talks about, this is the Muslim program for clarification. It talks about we want freedom for all believers of Islam now held in federal prisons. We want freedom for all black men and women now under death sentence in innumerable prisons in the North as well as the South. Talk about that point of the program and why it's important now, Brother James, for us to get our people and all political prisoners free.
I'm going to make this as short and brief as possible, Brother Sean, because first of all, if you go back to 1877 Reconstruction, when black people were elected for political office, and then they were removed systematically, I don't know if we've forgotten in the past year, in 2011, Charlie Rangel, Carol Moseley Braun, and other black political leaders were attacked and many lost their positions and charges were being brought against them as a way to move them out of office strategically.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are again in 2012, and our black leaders who are in political office, who we've elected, are very skeptical and timid of stepping up to the plate and telling the truth of what must be done. This is important, what's happening to Hashim, because we have the Homeland Security Act, which allows them to come in your home anytime they want. They have the Terrorist Act, and guess what? We're having this conversation. I don't know how many people realize this. Don't hang the phone up, but I hope you realize they passed a law under the ADD, or the Anti-Terrorist Law, whatever they passed. I can't remember the exact name. They said that you don't even have to have committed a crime or terrorist, or domestic terrorism against the United States. You just simply have to have conversation and talk about organizing and mobilizing against what we consider to be injustice, and they can lock you up, arrest you, actually freeze your resources until they see fit.
That's right.
And we got to understand what this means. So Hashim is locked up. Well, we have to raise the money. Let me say this. We have enough people on this line, and we have enough people out here in America. We have over 40 million black people in America that would make us the eighth or ninth richest nation in the world. But we spend our dollars and we turn around and give them right back to people who don't give us any justice. This is important because you think you're safe in your job as a teacher. Are you safe in your job? They're now doing background checks. If you have bad credit, there are people being called in and being terminated from jobs where they handle money, and specifically black people, because we have bad credit. If you committed
deep.
A crime 30 years ago, even though you've been exonerated, they're pulling those files. Why is this important for our children? Because our children are being kept in the educational system. I have to tell you this if you don't know. They're now pulling their middle school and high school records, and when they think they have an opportunity to enter college, they're rejecting them because they said that they were a discipline problem in grades 7 and 8. Many of us were terrible kids in grades 7 and 8. But guess
right.
what they're saying? They're not going to admit you into college. You're not eligible for student loans, and so what? Become a statistic. And that's what's
right,
happening.
Right. Right.
What happened to Hashim is important. We have to raise this money up. We've got to mobilize Dr. Malik. All I can say is this. If you're not in Atlanta, I don't care if you're the Nation of Islam or the Safari Khan and the team of people that surround him, this is not a spiritual party. This is where we're back in the days, not just in that channel. We're talking about how do we take back our community. How do we take back our children? How do we pool our economic resources? How do we leverage political power? And we have people in all walks of life, all the way, believe it or not, even people working in the White House who are in position to help us if we will simply organize and not have in-house fighting and bickering. So Hashim's case is important. It's being watched. Believe me, the President of the United States knows he's locked up. Congress knows he's locked up. They know what's going on. They're listening to us right now. But as long as we are disorganized, I'll tell you what, one learned person is harder on Satan than 1,000 ignorant worshipers, 1,000 believers.
Right.
So we need everyone on this line should be conscious. That's all I want to say, Brother Sean. I'm sorry I rambled, and I hope I didn't babble or say anything that was improper, but it's time for change. And if we're not willing to sacrifice for what we believe, then maybe we don't really love our people and love ourselves, and maybe we just love suffering here in the wilderness of North America. Well, it's time for change. So I hope to see everybody in Atlanta on June 22nd and 23rd. And it is not a party. We're coming to work. We're coming to work Black Atlanta, Hot Atlanta, and to bring attention. This is not a media event. Please be clear. It's not a media event. We're coming to work.
Yes, sir. Brother James,
thank
you. Brother, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Thanks, salam, peace, kabargani. Love you all. Thank you.
Love you, too. Brothers and sisters, that's Brother James Muhammad. You're on Black Power Radio. We have arrived at the moment that you've been waiting for, what you've been listening for. You now get close to the radio. Get close to your computer. Just get close. Sit on down and get down tight and get ready. We're now, at this point, about to bring to you, live for Black Power Radio, our national chairman, the national representative of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and the attorney at war. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade. This is Dr. and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power.
All right, Black Power, Black Power, all power to the people, Hotep, free the land, Black laws for all black people, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. Giving honor to our God, the black God, the God of our forefathers. We're honored to be on the radio here tonight, and we bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, we bear witness that there is but one God, and we bear witness that we have been blessed here in the pits and hells of North America, and we have been blessed by the coming of Sister Harriet Tubman, blessed by the coming of Reverend Nat Turner, blessed by the coming of Bishop Henry McNeil Turner. We have been blessed in the West by the coming of Dessalines and Buchmann and Toussaint Louverture and Christophe. We have been blessed in the West by the coming of the Black Moses, the Most Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and the UNIA. We have been blessed by the coming of the messenger of Allah to the black man and the black woman, and indeed a black Messiah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have been blessed by his student, the prophet of black nationalism, and what is called the patron saint of our black nationalist movement, and the father of the self-defense movement in the West. I'm talking about Minister Malcolm X. We have been blessed by his coming. We have been blessed by the coming of Dr. Huey P. Newton, blessed by the coming of Kwame Ture or Stokely Carmichael, blessed by the coming of Imam Jamil Al-Amin or H. Rap Brown. All three of them are children and students of Minister Malcolm X. And through those three prophets of our movement, Imam Jamil Al-Amin, Kwame Ture, and the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton. Thus, you have radical black nationalism born in America, the Black Panther Party born in America. But it come from Malcolm, it come from Elijah, it come from Garvey, it come from Harriet Tubman, it come from Nat Turner. It come from God Almighty, and it's given to us their lives of these martyrs that you say ashe to. They have given their lives for our liberation, and they put a duty on us, pressure on us, a burden on us to stand up in their holy, divine, and righteous name. We thank God for all of those who struggle. We thank God for Dr. King. We thank God for Rosa Parks. We thank God for Medgar Evers. We thank God for all of the martyrs slain in the hells of America, drowned in the lakes, the rivers, brooks, and the streams, hung from the trees, a strange fruit with blood dripping at the root. Oh, the suffering of the black man and woman in the hells of North America. I want you to listen to me tonight, black man and woman of America, white man and woman of America, Black Panther adherent in the hells of America, black nationalist in America, pan-Africanist in America, civil rights in America. All of you out there listening tonight, we come in the name of all of the great martyrs of our black nation. But if we live to be 1,000 or the ripe old age of Methuselah, we can never thank God enough for a bold, bald-headed black man who was our teacher, our mentor, and our example I'm talking about the former Supreme Captain of the Nation of Islam and Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm talking about a dyed-in-the-wool disciple of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm talking about one of the greatest black men to ever lay his feet in the hells of America. I speak of Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who is my mentor and our mentor, and the molder and shaper of our mentality. And he sets the pace and the rhythm for how we move and operate today. I thank God for him. I'm honored to serve as your national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. To all of the cities who are on the line, and to all of the revolutionaries who are on the line, certainly, we need to get right to the point. We're headed to Atlanta, Georgia, June 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. We're headed to Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Panther Party to come together. It is time for us to understand that there's a major national election in November, and we have heard the position and program of the Republican Party, the Republican Party, and their leader, Mitt Romney. We've heard their position of the Republican Party and their leader, Mitt Romney, who is a super capitalist blood sucker of the poor. And we've heard the position of the Democratic Party, who, as it says in our paper, the ballot or the bullet. And you've seen and heard it all in the news yourself as you flick on the DirecTV dial, that we say the Democratic Party is the institutional pimp. Let me just go to the paper. Since this is my favorite thing to do, is go to the New Black Panther paper, which is the strongest paper, national black paper. Well, I don't want to insult anybody. Let me calm down a little bit. It's strong as hell. Let me just put it to you like that. It's the New Black Panther, and it's a strong newspaper. You can read here words from our beloved minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad on page 12, the bullet or the bullet. Read from his 1996 speech, the holy and righteous revolutionary divine words of Minister Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad as they are regularly repeated in our newspaper, and we struggle and strive to keep the name and memory and teachings of the sword of Allah out front. Also in here, on page 14, I'll talk about him in a few moments, because he is part of the inspiration behind the concept of Panther unity, and that all of us on the line who are under the Panther, whether you follow Khalid Abdul Muhammad or you have been inspired by, more so by Dr. Huey P. Newton or Bobby Seale or Eldridge Cleaver or George and Jonathan Jackson or Geronimo Pratt or Fred Hampton or Daruba Ben Wahad, is Panther unity possible? And is it necessary? Because if it's necessary, then damn it, it's got to be possible. I'll come back to that in a minute. Erase the fear of above-ground self-defense by General Taco Wolverine Shakur of the Black Riders Liberation Party, and indeed, a member of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And we'll talk about Brother Fred Hampton Jr. also tonight. That great Panther Cub. Oh, the white man is in trouble tonight. Let me keep going. This cracker is in trouble. Let me just let you know right away. He thinks we're in trouble, but he's in trouble. Now, let me stay on point. I can't be long, but I must be strong. Now, in our newspaper, in my centerfold entitled The Ballot or the Bullet, you should go to newblackpanther.com and you should download this newspaper and you should use it in your universities, use it in your classrooms, use it in your high school curriculum as well as your college and graduate school curriculum and look at our subject matter and discuss it in the context of this election. Again, we've heard the program of the Republican Party and Mitt Romney, and we can look on page 20 and we evaluate. We say meet the candidates. And we take a similar position on Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, and Ron Paul. All of them are enemies of the black nation. All of them are devils. Not one of them is good for us. Every last one of them is an enemy to our people. But we break it down point by point in sophisticated political terms. And that's why our paper is being quoted by the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, CNN, Fox News, and other top political experts. Listen in, even if they disagree, they respect the writings of the New Black Panther newspaper. And I'm honored to be the founder of that paper, and Minister Sean Quali is our awesome editor, and we have our awesome team of revolutionary writers. We say the Democratic Party is the institutional pimp of black peoples and the black nation. We say the Democratic Party every 4 years trots out Negroes and panders to black voters just to get them to the polls and pad the Democratic vote totals, only then to disrespect and leave black people hanging when laws are written, budgets are passed, and policies are implemented. Black people are the whores and prostitutes of the Democratic Party and the mistreated mistress that is courted in the late of the night but left hanging when it's time for real change in the light of post-election day. In addition, the Democrats are battling a tough economy and high employment in this election season, and black unemployment is at 16%, double the national average. I'm reading from the New Black Panther Party newspaper, page 21, from my section called Meet the Candidates. You heard the program of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, but I want you tonight to, all of you who are listening, whoever you are, I want you to listen to the program of the New Black Panther Party. And then I want you to understand why the FBI is also on this phone trying to stop the New Black Panther Party for illegal, illegitimate, and immoral reasons. They're trying to stop the rise of a black messiah. Listen in very closely. Our subject is our National Panther Summit in Atlanta. Why the summit? I'm telling you because we're at the crossroads. I'm telling you this is because we have more than just two options or one option. As a people, I'm telling you we have to come together to see what we can do for ourselves. We have to come together and free Minister Hashim Nzinga. We have to get our brother the hell out of jail. God damn it, we got to free Hashim Nzinga. If I don't tell you any other reason why you got to be in Atlanta, you got to be there because Hashim is behind bars. Huh? Hashim is behind bars. Now, if you don't get up and fight for your own political prisoners, no one will respect you. So we're not going to be begging nobody. You better be in Atlanta or it's going to be a price to pay. Now, just a little house cleaning as we have to move on. We got serious business to take care of. We've considered the program of the Republican Party. We've heard their candidates. We're now here from Barack Obama. And although we are black, and it is a black family in the White House, don't assume just because he hasn't arrested us, Mr. White Man, that we are somehow working together. We are the voice of consciousness of the President of the United States of America. We are that reminder to him of that who he really is and where he come from, his people. We are, when it comes to the black people and the justice they deserve, the moral consciousness of this nation. And we always have been. I'm talking about the Black Liberation Movement, but specifically I'm talking about the new Black Panther Party. We are here for a divine reason. We say about President Obama on page 21 of the paper, we say, President Barack Obama is an oxymoron. He is a walking contradiction to us. He inspires hope and greatness in us and simultaneously delivers disappointment and delusion all in one whopping dosage. As a black man and a child of Africa, we hoped or expected better of him. Initially, the masses of black people were euphoric at Mr. Obama's campaign and election. The Obama successful and clean family image was a breath of fresh air to a people who have few public family role models and have been unfairly limited in success barometers to athletics and entertainment. Yes, it's true. Barack Obama gave our school children and others a role model to look up to. But we go on in our paper to criticize Mr. Obama for following advice and leadership that is not divine but is yet satanic. And we are urging him still in this hour in vain to listen to us and not the devils in the Pentagon and in the white military structure and establishment of imperialism, pro-Zionism, that have him as the chief imperialist now in the world. Our position is he needs to listen to this broadcast and listen to the position of the Panther Party and the Panther Movement, and not the devils who are around him that don't have good meaning for black people. Keep hope alive, if that ever happens. But this is our divine duty. So I don't want any black people, our brothers and sisters, to get twisted with me on this broadcast, because I have not come out here to pick a fight with the President of the United States, of many of you whom admire him. Yes, his critics are on the line, but you better believe me, if black people are on the line, there are many admirers of him. But we want you to understand our motive, our purpose, so you could charge me with no crime. My motive tonight is to make sure that black people get what they deserve, that the movement for black people is strong and healthy, and that our babies have a better future and we are not misused and mistreated. That is my motive. My motive is the defense of black people. My motive for calling a Panther Summit is to bring the new Black Panther Party together, to hopefully bring some from the original Panther Party together, to bring members of the new Black Panther Party, some who are not even with us now, who have become disaffected over the years, to call them back to the table right now so we can talk. My purpose is to help other brothers and sisters who believe in the Panther Party and Panther ideology and believe in police patrols and believe in the principles of the Panther movement and the principles of the Black Nationalist movement. My purpose is to call us together behind closed doors so that we can plot a better future for ourselves. And so whoever we have to criticize in the process, so be it. But you must understand our purpose. We're professionals here. We know what we're doing. Now, you heard the Democratic Party platform and the candidate here, and you know that the American economy is in a halt. You see that it has been written and prophesied, and I've told you many times, and the prophets and warners of our nation have told you that the American economy would grind to a halt, and yet the signs of the fall and the decline of America are all over. And you've seen it on the cover of Time magazine, and you hear whites now openly talking about it, not just Pat Buchanan, but mainstream whites. The subject matter is the decline of America, and we have given you the scriptural parallels here of a modern Babylon, a modern Rome. You see it on the wall here. Can the Democratic Party save you? Can the Democratic Party really save us locally and nationally, or are we just holding on because we ain't got nothing better? Are we just being fired up for this election to go out here and give some votes, and all of the core concerns of the black community will be thrown to the side when November gets passed? What about the ex-felons? What's going to happen for them? What about gentrification and black people being pushed out of every major urban city, pushed out of Washington, D.C., pushed out of the key areas of Philadelphia, pushed out of Manhattan and Harlem and key areas of Brooklyn, pushed out of key areas in Atlanta and Baltimore and areas now in the South? Is the Democratic Party going to help with that? Is that even on their agenda or on their radar? Are your concerns being addressed, or are you being used like a whore? That's the main point here. Real talk from Black Power Radio. Real talk. And so we don't want to be used like whores and prostitutes. We have to pay attention to the revelation that God has given us. And we have to pay attention to our warners. And we have to take note of where we are right now and who the hell or the heaven we are. And we have to take charge of our post, accept our own and be ourselves, and stop jiving and bullshitting. Talk to me. The new Black Panther Party 10-point program, this is the Panther Party program. Not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, the Panther Party. And I will say that I would like all 40 million black people in the hells of North America to get familiar with the Panther Party program and to become favorable towards the Panther Party program. I said all 40 million, not 20 million, not 5 million, not 50,000, not 500. I said I want all 40 to 50 million black people in the hells of a North America to become favorable to the Panther Party program, and all the oppressed in America to become favorable towards our program. Because our program makes most sense in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and it's better for black people. The new Black Panther Party 10-point program on page 33 is what I want our people to pay attention to. And why we're calling you to the summit is because I need y'all to take over the Panther Party right away. Y'all got to take over the Panther Party so I can go take over America. And with my international brothers and sisters, we're going to team up and take over the world. Hello. Take that down, Mr. FBI. Now, don't think that's so far-fetched. Let's get this Panther unity right. Let's get the new Black Panther Party right, tight, and exact. Let's take charge of our post and all black nation property in view. Let's walk our post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. Huh? Let's get back on our post, because we are never to quit our post without being properly relieved. Let's come and be inspired and rejuvenated so that, well, I'm going off on here. What time is it? We got a few others to come on. I didn't mean to come on this long, but look, brothers and sisters, you know we rarely come on this radio. This is a hell of a radio show we got. It don't even come on a regular basis. It comes on here and there, like almost like that pirate radio over there in England. That damn pirate radio. They just let you know about an hour in advance, and it comes on. They make phone calls. Well, we text out, look, despite whatever, with our erratic programming, we still number one in the black nation. I'm talking about Black Power Radio here. We are the number one black conscious radio show, really black political radio show in the country. And we can prove that in black and white. Now, the new Black Panther Party, y'all got to take over the Panther Party so that we can convert the rest of these black people in America to black nationalism. And they're going to come running anyway because the economy is collapsing. And hope in the Democratic and Republican Party is fading fast. And all we got to do is provide them a reasonable alternative. All we got to do is get our act together and be ready to receive our people who are going to be fleeing from this fallen Babylon and this crumbling devil full of disappointment. Now, the new Black Panther Party 10-point platform says in point number one, it says we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. That's what we want. You can't find that nowhere in the Republican and Democratic Party platforms. They don't even mention the word black. Point number two, we want full employment for our people and demand the dignity to do for ourselves what we have begged the white man to do for us. Power in the hands of the people, wealth in the hands of the people, arms in the hands of the people. Beautiful words as we are reading the 10-point program, which comes from the root 10-point program of the Black Panther Party, but has been upgraded for us through divine revelation given to us by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. The Panther Party wants power in the hands of the people, wealth in the hands of the people, and arms in the hands of the people. Power in the hands of the people. The power to control our educational system. Total control of the educational system in the black community. As Malcolm X would say, black nationalism is control of the education system in the black community. Black nationalism is control of the economy in the black community. Black nationalism is control of the politics of the black community. Hmm? We're talking about black community control. As we say here in our 10-point program, power, that's just some power. That's what you call lightweight power. Control over your local school system, control over your local economy. These are the basics of power. You're talking about real power, you're talking about land itself and the nation of our own. This is what the Panther Party is talking about, getting black people to have power and black people to establish and to gain land for themselves. Wealth in the hands of the people and arms in the hands of the people, meaning that self-defense is a right to the black nation and should be practiced by all of the black nation, not just by the Panther Party. Self-defense should be practiced by all in the black nation, whether it's legally armed or unarmed, in every jurisdiction in the black nation, throughout the bounds and the hills of North America. Let me read some more. I don't want to try to teach the whole platform, but I just want you to hear the basics of our 10-point platform. We want tax exemption and an end to the robbery of the black people by the capitalists. We want an end to the capitalistic domination of Africa in all its forms, imperialism, criminal settler colonialism, neocolonialism, racism, sexism, Zionism, apartheid, and artificial borders. Our 10-point program speaks directly to the complete liberation of Africa and an end to the capitalistic domination and the exploitation of the human labor and the resources of Africa by colonial powers, now post-colonial powers, and by neo-colonial no-good niggas who are used by the white man by automatic, systematic, remote control to kill our people over diamonds and minerals and send their children, I'm talking about the neo-colonials, send their babies over to England and America with the wealth of Africa in banks while the people in Africa are suffering and starving. We say our program, for all the Pan-Africanists on the line, our program, our platform, our ideology, our vision is right here in the third point of our 10-point platform, and we want you in Atlanta on June 22nd. We want you in on Atlanta that weekend. If you're a serious Pan-Africanist, come and meet with us behind closed doors. No devils in the media will be allowed. Come meet with us. Come talk to your brother, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Pan-Africanist who's out there, Pan-Africanist in America who dreams of a movement. We're wasting time, brothers and sisters. I know some of you whose hearts are aching. Some of you have been locked behind bars. Some of you have been disappointed. Some of you have had movements up and down. Some of you feel that you have been betrayed by your followers. Some of you have been going through economic hard times, divorce, homelessness. Some of you brothers and sisters who are really talented and love our people have been beset by all kind of calamities in the hells of North America. I want to let you know that I feel you, Black. I want to know that I feel you, God. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, look, come and meet with me behind closed doors. Take another look at your brother. Take another look at the new Black Panther Party. Don't assume that we're one way by what you read or what you heard. Come feel us and sit down with us and break bread together and let us talk over the future of our people like we got some sense, because we don't have all our lives to waste as we get older. We've got to make something out of this movement and give our people a realistic alternative between Satan, the Lucifer, the devil, and the Beelzebub. I'm appealing to your divine and your spiritual mind right now to say, get up and come and meet me in Atlanta, not for public speeches, though we will have a big rally to free Hashim Nzinga at the Tupac Center on Saturday, the 23rd, at the Tupac Center from 5 to 8 p.m. in Atlanta. At the Tupac Center, we will rally for Minister Hashim Nzinga, rally funds for his lead counsel, attorney Mawuli Davis, on the case for Hashim Nzinga as I back him up as his other counsel. Lawyers on the front line, but they need support. Hashim family suffering, but they need support. Our brother behind bars, this dirty, no good, low down, filthy, nasty beast, and his officers have our man in their hands, and we have no security around him. They have our man. Now, goddammit, we got to fight to get him out. We're coming together. Come sit with us, what I'm telling you, in the Panther Party. In the Panther Party right now, used to be in the new Black Panther Party, currently in the new Black Panther Party, want to be in the new Black Panther Party, a part of some other Panther organization, follow some other Panther-type organization, come on and talk. Let's talk like brothers and sisters. Let's be honest with each other and reason with each other. Under the laws of Mayat, Harambe, Harambe, let us all pull together and try to be patient with one another. The Panther Party platform, it speaks to decent housing, fit for shelter of human beings. It says in point number 4, we want free health care, preventive and maintenance. We want an end to the trafficking of drugs and the biological and chemical warfare targeted at our people. The Panther platform, the Panther Party program, not the Democratic or Republican Party program, but a program of true salvation, a program of true liberation, a program that really cares about our people, that really loves our people, that's not trying to pimp or whore or misuse our people. I'm talking about the divine program of the Panther Party, which is the program of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And it is the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it is the program of Minister Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, H. Rap Brown, Stokely Carmichael. It is the program of an evolved and radicalized Dr. Martin Luther King. It is the program of the ancestors. And God has given it to us. And giving us life and form and body right now, God body in person, so we can get up and use our arm, leg, arm, and head, and we can represent this struggle right now and help to seek and save our people. What in the hell do we look like going slow and doubting and being weak with all that God has given us? And he's given you the Panther Party and put it before the world. And put it all in Congress, and put it in the minds of the people, in the minds and hearts of the black man. He put it in the minds and hearts of the white man. God have raised the new Black Panther Party up for a divine reason and a divine season. Woe to the slacker in this hour. Woe to the slacker in this hour. Point number 6 of the new Black Panther, point number 5 of our new Black Panther Party program. We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society, a real education. We want an education that teaches us our true history and herstory and our role in present-day society. Oh, how many do we have to teach? Oh, do we need an army of teachers and educators that will educate our youth and our babies all over America? What work do we have to do? Oh, what work we have to do through websites and through newspapers and through radio broadcasts and after-school programs and each one teach one out on the street, out on the corner and in the group homes and community centers. Oh, don't we need to be fleeing to each other and uniting with each other? Look, I wouldn't waste your time asking you to come to Atlanta if I didn't think that I could do something about it, that I may not be able to carry across all of that which I have visioned or asked for in the past. though I have done much and though we have done much. But I will say to you, brothers and sisters who are listening, if you will just trust me, and if you will come to Atlanta and meet with me, I promise you that we can help move this program of the liberation of our people forward, and we can move this movement forward, and we can unite the Panther movement. So I'm not going to read all the platform. You go to newblackpanther.com, page 33, and read our 10-point program and platform. Read about how we want black men and women to be exempt from military service. Read how we want an immediate end to police harassment, brutality, and the murder of black people. Read how we want an end to black-on-black violence, snitching, and collaboration with the oppressor. Read how we want freedom for all black men and black women held in international, military, federal, state, county, city, jails, and prisons. Read how we want all black people, when brought to trial, to be tried in court by a jury of their peer group or people from the black community as defined by white law of the Constitution of the United States. Read point number 10. We read how we demand an end to the racist death penalty as it is applied to black and oppressed people in America. We demand freedom for all political prisoners of the black, red, and brown nation. Free Hashim and Nzinga. Look, brothers and sisters, I got to leave you and give you your final marching orders. Read the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. Read the new Black Panther Party newspaper. Accept our brother, Taco Wolverine Shakur, into our circle and into our family, and understand that they are real revolutionaries and that we are family and that we must cover down and protect each other. We may have different styles and different protocols and procedures, but ultimately we are the Panther children, and it's time for us to unite to defend and protect and support and align with each other. Accept, dear brothers and sisters, other black nationalists and other revolutionaries and other black Panthers who may not have come under Khalid Muhammad. Accept them if they come with us. Dear sisters and brothers, we're all family. The same dog that bites them bites us too. Accept, brothers and sisters, your responsibility to free Minister Hashim and Nzinga. Accept the fact that the FBI has named in its report, as uncovered by the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, that they have, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I have to give you full information, that the new reports out by the FBI say that the number one black separatist that they are targeting, the number one and two black separatists that the FBI is targeting for disruption is the New Black Panther Party and the Nation of Islam. And this is something we've already known, but the new information through the Freedom of Information Act confirms it. And so all the more need for the summit, because they're going to try to make a lot of nigger mess happen. They're going to try to use all kind of gimmicks and tricks and dirty letters and dirty Facebook posts. And they have now put a budget, more budget, behind the dismantling of the Panther Party. And so now we have to get together to counter the counterintelligence program. We have to counter the counterintelligence program. We have to close ranks, be smart, cover down. We have to be better than ever right now. Can you understand that? We have to counter the counterintelligence program of the United States government, because the better we get, the more interested they get in us. Sorry about that. I just have to keep it real. Where there are no risks, there are no rewards. And so I need you to come get your instructions, New Black Panther Party. I need y'all to come to Atlanta to tighten up. You say you want a black army? Well, come on and build it. Come on and get it right. from captain to field marshal, regional, local, national, time to get all of that right and exact. Time to build a real counterintelligence unit. They spying on us, we got to spy on them. Let me not talk too much because we are very serious about helping our people, and it's too late to back out. It's too late to back down. And so we might as well get this thing perfect. As we say in Islam, perfect in every way, right and exact. So I'm about to leave you so that you can hear from a host in Atlanta, host Sister Nadia Shakur, who will give you actual facts on the rally for Hashim and Zynga. We will not give you facts on the location of the summit because we are not giving that out to our enemies. It is not a public summit, and you will be given it on a need-to-know basis, and you have to text 502-299-8530 to register. You must text 502-299-8530 to register. It's an invite only. You must be cleared by registration to attend. Again, this is about serious organizing and planning. We got to get in a room together. So as I leave you, this is a call to unity. This is a call to unity of all who are in this new generation who believe in any form of Black Panther ideology. Let's come together. We have time that we've set especially aside to discuss this concept, part of which was given to me by Brother Taco, to discuss the concept and the working reality of Panther unity. For all of the other Panther groups that are out there, we are all family one way or the other. This is a call to unity of all who are inside the new Black Panther Party. All inside the party, it's time for us to unite. Stop the division in the party. You look silly. Come to Atlanta. Let's work it out. Any problems you have, report to our Ministry of Justice. We will straighten out all problems. We need a strong Panther Party in every way. If you, those of you who are here who want to join the Panther Party, who've been trying to join, come to Atlanta. Come to Atlanta. For all of you who are Black nationalists and who follow the ideology of Minister Malcolm X, and you say you are a serious organizer, and you think you have a career in this or a future in this, I want you to come sit with your brother, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Sit with the National Central Committee of the Panther Party. Sit with Minister Sean Kwali. Sit with King Samir. Sit with those in the Panther Party who we know so well, who you know so well. We'll all be together in Atlanta. Come and sit with us. The Black nationalists should unite and form a Mau Mau. The Black nationalists, which makes all of us who are under the red, black, and green, we should all unite. It makes sense. It makes sense. This is a call to all of the, again, to the Pan-Africanists, all of those who believe in serious organizing and nation buildings and who believe in strategy and tactics and confrontational politics and Black economics, all of the great ideologies and principles we believe in. Let's see what unity can do, and let's see what we can do with this Panther Party. We got a great head start. We got great momentum. Come on, y'all. We're willing. Y'all can come use our platform. We're looking to make more leaders so that the devil can come after you right from his FBI headquarters. I turn you back into the hands of our national spokesman and my national spokesman and the radio broadcast host, Minister Sean Kwali. I am your dear brother, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and I'm staying strong here on the front lines. I'll see you in Atlanta.
All right, Black Power.
Black Power brothers and sisters, wherever you at, definitely give a salute, give a hand clap, do something. Put your fist in the air for our national chairman. Laying it down, laying it down. You hear your marching orders and our marching orders and instructions. And as he said, we're not going to belabor, but we do want to hear from the host city. We want to hear from the host city and the sister hostess who is organizing this thing on the ground and making sure that it goes right on a day-to-day and daily and consistent basis. This sister has a strong background organizing freedom fighting and liberation struggle, and she's hit the ground running. And so at this time, brothers and sisters, I'd like for you to help me to welcome our sister to Black Power Radio, right behind our national chairman, to give you that push on through to the finish line to Atlanta, GA. This is Sister Nadia Shakur. Black Power, power to the people.
Black Power, power to the people, freedom, land, Yahoo, and all that good stuff. I want to let my comrades know that we will be at the Tupac Center at 5 p.m. Please be there promptly, dressed accordingly, clean, and ready to get to work. This is going down at the Tupac Center. If you don't know, now you know. I'm bringing everybody to Hot Atlanta because the revolution is hot right now. The streets are hot and the flashes are hot. They mad at this work. They mad at the progression. They mad at the black men and women who took back our design responsibility and our role in the universe to rule supreme. And so now it's time for us to step up and step our game up and kick this thing into gear. The reason why we bring everybody to Atlanta, the Tupac Center, is because we want to set an example. I'm tired of the fascist capitalism. We're tired of the rhetoric. We're tired of the dogmatic living in the 60s shadows of other fallen comrades. We need to revolutionize our people now, and we need to figure out the problems and the solutions to the problems now in a way that we speak to the people. So all serious revolutionaries, you talking all that jive, you wearing black every day, you got your RBG flags hanging in your house, but you're not in the streets, bring your black butt down here to Atlanta and hear how you can really get to work. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to know what the Panthers are doing. Come to Atlanta and see what the Panthers are doing, hear what the Panthers are doing, and speak to key leaders that manifest the revolutionary day. You say that you're real, you say you're a nationalist, you say that you're a Pan-Africanist, but you won't get on the Greyhound, you won't get on a train, you won't drive to Atlanta to see the Black Panther Party doing their thing? That's whack. I'm calling you out right now. Take your uniform out the closet, dust it off, because we know you ain't wearing it since Khalid Muhammad was rolling in his Rolls Royce. Get your ass up and get your uniform on and come down here to Atlanta, because we doing the work. And for all those that don't know, this is Commander Nadia Shakur, the chairman of the Atlanta chapter, and we out here kicking it up in high gear. We ain't on this old theory. We not on this old talking theory with no practice tip no more. So when we come down to Atlanta, you're going to see the Black Panther Party in full action. No cut, straight up, no chaser, because we can't play with our people. And if we continue to pacify each other, then we never going to get anywhere. So we also going to be whipping each other into shape. So if you come out here and not ready to work, you might as well stay your ass on the train, stay on the Greyhound, go to the station, use the bathroom, turn around, and go back home. Don't come to my city BS, because we about to do some real work. Everybody feel me on that? I want to hear good black power, because that's what it's about. We're manifesting real revolutionary change. And the reason for the summit is not just about freeing one comrade. It's about freeing them all. Like POCC say, that's the call. We need to free them all. I'm tired of my brothers and sisters languishing behind bars, eating noodles and burritos every day. And we out here on the streets picking it, eating how we want to eat, talking and laying back and chuckling and jiving. And we worry about, we forget about our comrades. I'm not with that no more. So we coming down here and we going to scream and we going to raise the bar. And we going to free Hashim and Zynga by any means necessary. And we going to let the fascists know, you better let them go or we coming to get them straight up.
And that's Black Power. Give us the address one more time, Tupac Center. Give us the address again and let us know.
Hey, hold on, brother. I got to get my flyer out. I don't have the flyer immediately on me right now. But it's in the can, and it's on Memorial Drive.
Here we go. Let me pull it right up for us. Well, they come right up. All right. Tupac Center. Bottom line, look, it's Tupac Center. I think it's important. It's important that we say in the Tupac Center. This is something that Comrade Pac would have wanted anyway. He would have wanted the comrades to come together. He would have wanted us to come together. Sister Nadi, what's the spirit like on the ground as we get this information? What's the energy on the ground right now?
Oh, the energy is beautiful. I mean, we have young brothers and sisters rocking their RBGs saying, man, we're going to be at the Tupac Center because they feel like by them going to that place, that location, that historical site, that they're carrying on a legacy. And we also let people know that the Black Panther Party is in Bodhi a Thug Life because the hatred you give little infants funks everybody straight up. So if we don't push black power and pantherism at the Tupac Center, then we're not really carrying on a legacy of our youth. And this is the only way that we can speak to the youth in a manner they understand. So we got people on the streets, on the ground, hyped up. Everybody is ready to see Panther leaders come to Atlanta. Everybody in Atlanta is tired. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're tired of talking to leadership and asking and begging and pleading for liberation, and people take their money and run with it. People take their prayers and run with it. People take their anguish and run with it back home, and they poverty pimp. But that's not what the Black Panther Party is about. And since I've been on the ground moving this Panther thing here in Atlanta, the people are loving us. The people are refreshed. It's like breathing oxygen without having any toxins in it. That's what the Black Panther Party is here in Atlanta.
That's what's up. Here it is. Here it is. June 22nd, 22nd, 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Here we are. 5616 Memorial Drive. 5616 Memorial Drive, Stone Mountain, GA. Listen, go to newblackpanther.com, dayofactionmovement.org, and you heard the national chairman say it's by invite only in terms of the summit. The Free Hashim and Zynga rally, we're inviting all our people out, all of our people in the Atlanta area, Decatur, wherever you at, all of our people, come on out. Free Hashim and Zynga and all political prisoners. But for this summit, it's by invite only, so you got to text 502-299-8530. Again, 502-299-8530. Now, is your call. Any closing comments?
All I have to say to my people is that if you're ready and if you're tired, stop crying about it. You so-called Christians, well, faith without works is dead. To the Muslims, alhamdulillah, we must go hard. I don't care anymore, people. I'm tired of everybody saying what they want, but they're not willing to do. If you want something and you're willing to demand it and you're not going to sit down anymore and kowtow to fascism, then bring your black ass down here to Atlanta so we can get to work. I don't want to hear nothing else. I don't want to hear nobody talking about black power. I ain't see you in Atlanta. I don't want to go on Facebook and hear about no good revolutionary programs, but I ain't see you in Atlanta. Atlanta is where it's at. And after this summit, after this rally, we're going to see some real revolutionary change, and we're going to clean the house. As a matter of fact, we're about to smoke bomb the roaches. So all you insects running around here in Panther uniform not doing nothing, get ready for the raid, Buster, because we're coming for you. Come here to Atlanta and see how revolutionaries really get down.
That's what's up. Black power and power to the people. That's Sister Queen Commander Nadia Shakur. You heard it here first. Atlanta GA Tupac Center, Free Hashim and Zynga. Hell, that's what should be on the minds. All new Black Panther Party, all comrades, all concerned. Free Hashim and Zynga, free all political prisoners. For the NBPP, we got to sit down, we got to organize and get the thing tight and right. If you're number one on the list, and this is the national chairman said this the other night to us, if you number one and we number one on the list, God damn it, let's make them get their money's worth. Let's make them get their money's worth. If you're number one and we number one on the list, you're going to get your money's worth. You heard me? So, brothers and sisters, thank you for listening. We invite you always to come black to Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting revolutionary radio broadcast anywhere. It's got to go from the radio to the streets. Black Power Radio goes from the radio to the streets. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, share it on Facebook, share it on Twitter, share it on all them social networks, and share it in your life. It's black power to black people. It's all power to the people. And if black people ain't free, ain't nobody free.